I'm going to be reading from John 13, verses 3 to 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he had girded.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
All right. I believed you on the first time. It is wonderful. And the first day of April. Spring is here, right? A little chilly, but it's wonderful to be here. I'm so glad to see all of you, and those of you online, certainly welcome too. For this is a special day. It is the Sabbath, the day of the Lord blessed and hallowed, and then a very special Sabbath, for we get to meet at his communion table. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, yes, we are so glad to be here today. To be able to lay aside the world and all the trauma and the miasma that is sweeping across this planet. Father, and to know that there is a golden ray that shines forth from your throne. Very specially on the Sabbath day and when we gather, especially in communion, we know that you touch our hearts and our minds in a very special way. And so we ask for the Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence, that the thoughts will only be honorable unto you today. Draw us closer to you, we ask in thy name. Amen. As we've had different communions, as we've gone along, we're kind of taking little parts of the communion service and looking at it a little deeper. And granted, on communion, we don't have much sermon time, which is fine. But today, I want to go you just stay with me. A friend of mine, a pastor, sent me this true story some years back. I'd like to share. It was turning out to be a bad night in Marion County Shelter for the Homeless in San Rafael, California. With the rain pouring down and the temperature in the low 40s, the large armory was near capacity of 125 people. All the cots and the sleeping mats had been assigned, but people were still coming in. Time, there was complaints about the shortage. Soon, some of the blacks and some of the Latinos started accusing me and my fellow workers of racial favoritism because we were all white. I was working at the shelter as a full-time counselor. Actually, my duties were more like those of a handyman, but the money I earned was helping me pay my way through seminary. Then the argument started. I knew we were in trouble. The armory echoed with shouts and profanity and curses. Due to the numbers, some of the street people who were taking sleeping mats literally away from others by force. When Bobby, a black woman who came in late, found that we hadn't saved her a mat as usual, she began to object the loudest of all and accused me of prejudice. In the midst of this, a Latino man named Jose, who had received one of the last sleeping mats, made his bed in the middle of the armory. He threw down his mat, he fell on it, removed his tattered and soiled boots, and collapsed in a drunken stupor. The stench of Josie's feet filled the air. The street people, ordinarily not picky about odors, now began to raise a great protest. I had been passing out towels when a group of men, blacks and whites, came to me insisting I had to do something about that odor. The obvious solution was to persuade Jose to get up and go take a shower. But when two other workers and I went over to get him up, it was of no use. He was breathing, but nothing would rouse him. We could not get him to move. We discussed picking him up and carrying him into the shower, but he weighed well over 200 pounds, dead weight, and there was no way we could move him. Someone suggested that we drag him back outside and leave him on the sidewalk, as a howl of protest went up from especially the Latinos. I prayed in desperation, silently. I said, "Dear God, how am I supposed to handle this situation? It's going to erupt in here. I don't know what to do." Only a few nights earlier, one of my fellow workers had been attacked and literally choked during one of the frequent arguments and fights in the armory. Then a thought occurred to me. He said, "If I can't get Jose to the shower, maybe I can get the shower to him." We didn't have a wash basin, but I dug around and I found a large bowl in the kitchen. I filled the bowl with warm water and a lemon-scented dish soap from the kitchen. I grabbed a towel and a washcloth and I headed back to Jose. From all over the armory, stares of suspicion and anger followed me. Back at Jose's mat, I knelt down, I rolled up his pant legs, and began to remove his filthy socks, which were soggy wet on the bottom and dried to cardboard stiffness on the top. I finally, with much work, managed to tug them off his feet, but I noticed the impression of the fabric was still imprinted in his swollen feet. The stench was overwhelming, even with the lemon-scented soap right next to me. I was able to persuade one of the men next to me to take these socks and throw them away, and another to pick up his soiled boots and take them outside to air out. And then I went to work with the warm, lemony, soapy water and a washcloth. It took quite a few minutes, I don't know how long, to carefully clean Jose's calves, his ankles, his feet, and between his toes. In no time at all, that water was just black. I took the towel finally, and I dried them, still on my knees, and I turned to pick up the bowl. And as I did that, I suddenly saw a forest of legs and knees surrounding me. "Have they come to throw us both out?" fear struck in my heart. Slowly and warily, I stood up, not knowing what to expect. My eyes came to rest on the face of one of the black men who had been protesting the loudest just a few minutes before. And he was grinning. I had never even seen him smile before. I looked from face to face. I was stunned. They were all smiling. Men and women of all races. And Bobby, with tears in her eyes, stepped forward, took my soapy hands in hers, and kissed them. Nothing could have prepared me for what I experienced at that moment. It was as if Jesus' words had come to life, that whosoever will be chief among him, let him be your servant. Matthew 20:27. It had not been intentional. I was just doing my job. But by carrying out this unpleasant task, I had won over an entire auditorium of street people and gained their respect for years to come. A quiet hush fell on the National Guard armory in San Rafael that night. The shouting and the threats were gone. It became peaceful. People were smiling at each other, helped one another. Someone who had both a mat and a cot gave his mat to Bobby. And after some looking around, we even came up with a fresh pair of socks for Jose. The statement of a life of service. Jesus came to serve. He calls us to serve. Reading from Desire of Ages, starting in 646. She says, when Jesus girded himself with a towel to wash the dust from their feet, he desired by that very act to wash the alienation and jealousy and pride from their hearts. This was a far more consequence than just washing their dusty feet. With the spirit they then had, not one of them was prepared for communion with Christ. Until brought into a state of humility and love, they were not prepared to partake of the Paschal Supper or to share in the memorial service which Christ was about to institute. Their hearts must be cleansed. Pride and self-seeking create dissension and hatred, but all this Jesus washed away in washing their feet. A change of feeling was brought about. Looking upon them, Jesus could say, ye are clean. For now there was union of heart and love for one another. They had become humble, teachable, except Judas. Each was ready to concede to another the highest place, and now with subdued and grateful hearts, they could receive Christ's words. After Christ washed the disciples' feet and had taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Christ would have his disciples understand that although he had washed their feet, this did not in the least detract from his dignity. And being so infinitely superior, he imparted grace and significance to the service. No one was so exalted as Christ, and yet he stooped to the humblest duty. That his people might not be misled by the selfishness which dwells in the natural heart and which strengthens by self-serving, Christ himself set the example of humility. His whole life was under a law of service. He served all. He ministered to all. Thus he lived the law of God, and by his example showed how we are to obey it. This service can be a glorious experience. We don't understand everything about the deep spiritual significance of it, but we do know that it means cleansing, it means washing, it means forgiveness, it means service. But it is possible to go through this service without anything happening in our hearts. Judas did. However, 11 men were changed completely forever because of it. And Jesus calls all of his followers, that's all of us, to completely follow him, even in this service. For he knows that we too need a meaningful experience with Jesus. My prayer is that all of us will find that meaningful experience today as we follow Jesus' command. He says, for I have given you an example that you should do what I have done. John 13:15. So I pray that you will make this not a ritual, but pray with God, pray with one another, that His Spirit will make this special to you. For we all need it. Amen? Seventh-day Adventists believe in open communion. That means if anybody is here that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, anyone is welcome to join in. We'll separate here. If I remember right, we have married couples over here. We have men straight back, and the ladies are off to the left and around in the children's division. If you care not to join us and would like to sit here, we will be back shortly, and you're certainly welcome either way. We're glad you're here. May God bless us all. Welcome back. Everybody smiling? We should be smiling, amen? We have so much to be happy for. The Lord has opened the gates of heaven through His sacrifice for each and every one. We praise Him for it. I won't ask if you experience something special. I'll leave that between you and God. I pray that you did. If you hadn't, it's okay. God's still working in all of us, and He will grow us. And there are times when in this life we feel rather flat and sometimes even feel God is not near. But we have the assurance that He always is. How does that saying go about how when you feel least like praying, that's when you need to pray the most? Because God is right there. So I praise God for His goodness, for the gift of His Son, and that's why we're here today. To enjoy the reminder of the depth of His love. And so I pray as we go forth here today, that we will have been brought into His presence in a new and meaningful way. And I've asked Dr. Mark if he would read scripture and have prayer over the bread.
Received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Is it muted?
Let's bow our heads. Father, we do thank You for the privilege of partaking in this service, the symbolism of Jesus giving His flesh for us is something that we struggle to understand. Nevertheless, we thank You for that, and we thank You, Jesus, for giving Your life as a gift, paying the price for us. Might we truly understand what this is all about, because we are forgiven in Your name. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. I asked Dr. Luke if he would read scripture and have the prayer for the juice.
Sure.
1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, we come today wanting to remember you, the sacrifice for our sins, and we accept you and what you've done for us, and look forward to being with you where we can look into your eyes and thank you personally for all this that you've done for us. Help this grape juice to represent your blood, and help us to remember what your blood has done for us. In thy holy name, amen.
Amen. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body which was broken for you." And he took the cup, and he said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." The communion service points to the second coming. It was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of his disciples. Whenever they meet together to commemorate his death, they recounted how he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." In their tribulation, they found comfort in the hope of the Lord's return. And so should we. May God add his blessing to your time with him today. We pray. And it says they went out singing. So if you take your hymnals, number, I believe, 570 for our closing hymn. "Not I, but Christ." Let's stand.
Christ, not our loved, exalted, not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard, not I, but Christ, in every look and burden, not I. Oh,
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, that is a prayer of our hearts today. Not I, but Christ. May your Spirit indwell within each of us. Take our stony hearts, make them live in the power and the grace and the character of God. So that as we go forth from here today, Lord, you will be seen in our hearts and in our lives because we've been with you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, for what he has done and what he's continuing to do for us until that great day when we can cast our crowns at his feet and say, not I, but Christ. May you be glorified. It's the prayers of your people. God's people say,
amen.
Amen.